It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love and many thanks to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I don't care if you're in the East, the South, the Northeast, the Midwest, the West. You could be in Canada. Thank you for listening, Canada. I appreciate you. This show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I might be in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our producer holding it down for us tonight in New York, Jack Carty. We've already had a busy show. We talked about the retirement of Woj. Yeah, no more NBA news. This man is going to be a general manager at St. Bonaventure. We talked about the PGA and LIV. They're trying to figure out a deal, but then there's some golfers who want the LIV players to give their money back. Travis Kelce is trying to earn his money. It's Wednesday. Next hour, I'm going to give you a new top six list. We're going to look at some NFL QBs who are probably already cooked for 2024. We got a lot to do. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM channel 158, and a smart speaker if you have one. Ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, it's Wednesday. I'm here to get you over the hump. And speaking of the hump, there's a Major League Baseball player. I don't even know what the hell to call this guy. He's such a phenom. He's a once-in-a-lifetime guy. Shohei Ohtani, down in Miami against the Marlins. The guy already has a hit. They're in the second inning. The man already has a hit. And then he proceeded to steal a base. And so Shohei Ohtani, trying to become the first player in Major League Baseball history to have a 50-50 season, 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases. Shohei Ohtani only needs one more stolen base at this point to get to 50. Today was his 49th. And it's still early enough in the game that he can go out there and, you know, swipe another one and automatically get to 50 if the timing should be right. Also, at this point, Shohei Ohtani, as it stands right now, after hitting a home run last night, Shohei Ohtani stands at 48 home runs. A matter of fact, let's listen to Shohei Ohtani's home run from last night. It didn't work out for the Dodgers. They lost to the Marlins. The final score was 11-9. But at least Shohei Ohtani was able to add to his stats. Take a listen to this.
On this 1-1 pitch, Ohtani lifts a fly ball to deep right field. How far will it go? Into the second deck. It's his 48th home run in his hunt for 50-50.
Yeah, that sound courtesy of Sportsnet LA. That was from last night's game. And Shohei Ohtani, he's going to get to 50-50. Come on. He has to. Got about 2 weeks left in the season. You want to tell me that Shohei Ohtani is not going to hit? Getting another stolen base. I mean, even if he has to force it, he's going to get a stolen base. The home runs, Dave Roberts has already started to talk about. He's, he might be pushing things a little bit. He might be, forcing the issue, trying to pull the ball. I think Ohtani's going to get his two home runs. This man, it would be a disaster. It'd be a shame if he's right here at a 50-50 season, then he's not the first guy to get the job done. Jack, do you think Ohtani's going to be the first to hit 50-50?
I mean, with the way he's playing, there's no doubt in my mind.
Okay. I agree. Let's see what he can do tonight. It's still early. At this point, it's just a matter of what he does. How many more home runs, and when are you going to hit them? Shohei Ohtani hit one last night, that two-run bomb that you just heard. I'm sure he got another one in the chamber. Two more. I still can't believe. We've been talking about 40-40 for so long. Only six guys in Major League Baseball history have achieved a 40-40 season. And Shohei Ohtani, in the year that he is not pitching, currently rehabbing, he could go 50-50. Absolutely nuts. He's taken a lot of the current attention away from Aaron Judge, as Judge went on a little bit of a streak where he was homerless. approximately 15 games, Aaron Judge didn't hit a home run. We're not looking at that 62-63 mark unless he goes on another magical run. This is currently Ohtani time. Also, congratulations to the Milwaukee Brewers. They are the first team to go ahead and clinch a playoff spot in the National League Central. The New York Yankees have an opportunity to clinch the American League East. They have a chance to do that today, tonight as well. So baseball, we're getting to the stretch run. NFL is just getting warmed up. College football is just getting warmed up. And baseball is getting ready to wind things on down. And speaking of college football, how about this? In about 15 minutes, we are going to have a conversation with Stuart Mandel. He is the editor-in-chief. He's the senior columnist covering all things college football for The Athletic. I'm going to ask him about Tennessee. I'm going to ask him about Texas. I'm going to ask him about Tennessee and them damn prices. Like, they're upping the fees so they can start raking in money and creating a fund to pay its student-athletes. Ask him about Deion's comments about a player criticism now that they're getting paid. I want to get his thoughts on Notre Dame and their viability. I'll ask him as well why the teams in Florida suck. Well, the big ones except for Miami. And so Stuart Mandel is going to join us from The Athletic. He'll be here in about 15 minutes. But I must share this news with you. You know, right before we went to break, I told you about Travis Kelce. Pretty much admitted that he needs to do better here at the start of the season. Because as we have started here in 2 weeks, the Kansas City Chiefs, yeah, they might be 2-0. But that's despite Travis Kelce, so far this season, only having 4 receptions for 39 yards. If Travis Kelce quit today, Hall of Fame. I said that. No doubt about it. But he has a contract that's going to take him into 2027, and he looks like he's slowing down. Or maybe he needs the whole season to just kind of get revved up. I know the Kansas City Chiefs play their players in the preseason, but they ain't nothing like some live action. And so speaking of the Hall of Fame, earlier today, we learned about the 16 players who have been nominated for the first time for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Some of these dudes who are now eligible: Marshall Yanda, my friends in Baltimore know all about Yanda, excuse me, offensive lineman all those years with Baltimore. Some other modern day era players for consideration: Marshawn Lynch. I can't imagine what that Hall of Fame speech would sound like. I don't know if he's going to get in. Terrell Suggs will probably get in. Luke Kuechly, I don't know if the concussions and the injuries and retiring early will prevent him from getting in. Vernon Davis, I know he was just celebrated by the 49ers. I think he might be a borderline. But then there's one more guy eligible for the Hall of Fame next year for the first time. He's been discussed even at the end of his career. His name is Eli Manning. Yeah, the 4-time Pro Bowler, the 2-time Super Bowl champ, the 2-time Super Bowl MVP, the man who knocked off Tom Brady twice, did it in 2008, beat an undefeated Patriots team. It took a helmet catch. He did it again in 2012. Eli Manning, when it comes to the postseason, he throws a cape on. He becomes a different guy. He goes into the booth, and now he's Superman. In the regular season, there's so many varying opinions about Tom Brady. Excuse me, not Tom Brady. That's the real champ. About Eli Manning, it's ridiculous. How about this? We now know Eli is eligible for the Hall of Fame next year. But if we go back 5 years, Ryan Clark was on ESPN, and he told everybody, man, Eli Manning, yeah, he's going to get into the Hall of Fame, but none of us as players, none of us as defenders ever worried about him. Listen to Ryan Clark from 5 years ago.
There's never been a time in the world where you're playing Tom Brady and you want him to be the person making the decision, the action, and the play that is going to decide the game. Never in life have I ever played Eli Manning and had a coach come into a meeting, and I played with Dick LeBeau, the greatest, at least to me, defensive mind of all time. Never did he come in and say, guys, we got to strap it in this week, because even if we do everything right, Eli Manning might beat you. You know what you said? If you in the right place, Eli Manning is going to hit you in the face mask with a ball at some time.
Let me tell you something. Eli Manning, notorious. Some of those interceptions he would throw. Man, you'd be like, Eli, what were you looking at? And then there'd be other times where Eli Manning would throw an interception or make a bad pass, and it just, the expression on his face, it was known in New York as Eli face. Like Eli just had this dumbfounded expression on his face, like he was in pain. Like he was clueless as to what just took place. And we know he's a fun guy. Him and his brother are sitting around on ESPN nowadays doing that Manning cast. I've never watched a minute. I've never watched a second. Not interested. If there's an interesting clip, I'm sure I hear about it later. They got a lot of personality. The Manning boys. The Manning guys. And so how about this? Even a couple of days ago, you want to know one of the guests on Monday Night Football? It was Bill Belichick. He was sitting there with the Manning brothers, Peyton and Eli. And Eli was kind of making a joke with him about beating the Patriots, his former team, twice in the Super Bowl. Nice to have a sense of humor. Listen to this conversation from ESPN.
Coach, I got to ask you about Super Bowl 52. Y'all went against the Eagles. Did not go well for you that game. I know. I didn't want to ask you. Peyton made me do this, but I just have one quick question. Do you happen to have like a dartboard in your house with a picture of Foles and I on it that you just throw darts at all the time?
Yeah, I got three dartboards, two of you and one of Foles. Yeah, I got three.
There it is. Yeah, right in the head.
Yeah.
Perfect game.
Yeah, we've certainly learned over the past several months how much of a personality Bill Belichick has. That has to be the most unenthusiastic response I've heard him give anything over the past half of a year. It's Bill Belichick has been on I'm going to sit in the media. I'm going to do five television shows. I'm going to do podcasts. I'm going to do interviews. I'm going to do everything that I get paid for until I get a coaching job next year. That was one comment that he took in stride. He did not appreciate. And Eli Manning is also not shy at all, and kind of needling Tom Brady as well. He's like, man, the two Super Bowls that I got, I took from you. Could you imagine an alternate universe? And look, nobody is here to win everything all the time. You got to lose. It's a part of things. Can't win all the time. Unless you're like Michael Jordan, but then you sucked at baseball. The fact is, could you imagine a world where Tom Brady would have 9 Super Bowls? Could you imagine a world where he just won all of them, including that one against the Eagles? Could you imagine a world where he had 10 of them? Damn. It's not fair. I'm glad Eli Manning did exist. And those two Super Bowls are why he's going into the Hall of Fame. Look, I don't think anybody is dumb enough to tell you that Eli Manning was Tom Brady. I don't think anybody is dumb enough to tell you that Eli Manning is or was his brother Peyton Manning. I don't think you're going to find anybody that will tell you that, you know, when it's all said and done, that Peyton Manning was Drew Brees. Come on, no. And we can go down the list. Forget Drew Brees. We can talk about the Dan Marinos of the world, the Elways, the Young. We can go on and on. Eli Manning is not them. But one thing he is, when it mattered the most during his career, is a winner. The Hall of Fame is not a ranking system. Is this guy better than this guy? And this guy, you can go ahead and judge it that way if it helps you. But it's about the best performers. The guys who had the best careers, the people who elevated their games, the best of the best. Well, damn it, when it mattered, forget the regular season. When it mattered and when he got there, Eli Manning was one of the best. Without a shadow of a doubt. And he wasn't just one of the best. He knocked off the best team, the best dynasty that the NFL has ever seen. The only dynasty that lasted for the better part of 20 years. Eli Manning did that. And for that, the man is a Hall of Famer, whether people like it or not. You're going to get a lot of conversations, a lot of back and forths over the next year. And should Eli go in or should he not? The man should go in. How many people slayed the dragon the way that he did? How many people did it in the fashion that he did? Answer's none. He's not his brother, but he's still one of the best and one of the most accomplished quarterbacks that the NFL has ever seen. How about this? I would tell you, 99% of quarterbacks that have ever thrown a ball in the NFL wish that they had the career that Eli Manning had. Think about that. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, it's time to have a conversation. Speaking of a Manning, there's one in college right now. We're going to have a chat with Stuart Mandel from The Athletic. I'm going to ask him about Eli and Peyton's nephew, Arch. I'm going to ask him about Texas and Tennessee and Dion and Colorado and Michigan and Notre Dame and the Florida teams. Stuart Mandel is going to join us on the other side. Don't go anywhere. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're waiting a Stuart Mandel of The Athletic. Trying to track him down and see where he is so we can talk some college football. Obviously, a lot of news as we head into another week. And we also came off of another hot week. A matter of fact, here he is with us right now, a Stuart Mandel joining us, editor-in-chief, senior columnist from The Athletic. Stuart, thank you for the time.
Thanks for having me.
No doubt about it. I guess right out of the gate, in our previous break, we had a whole discussion about Eli Manning and his Hall of Fame eligibility. It was nice this past weekend to see Arch Manning finally get a chance to rock and roll for Texas. What are your thoughts and your initial impressions as he held things down for Quinn Ewers?
He looked really good, and that's not entirely surprising. He showed what he had in the spring game for Texas this year. It's pretty crazy for there to be this much attention on the backup quarterback, for sure. If Quinn Ewers does end up missing a couple weeks, this is certainly the right time in the schedule for that to happen. It's a very light part of their schedule. But also, I don't think anybody's too worried about it at this point. I mean, I think Quinn Ewers is exceptional, but I can't imagine a school has a better backup quarterback than this.
Without a shadow of a doubt, when you think about some of the top quarterbacks so far this year, who has impressed you? Who hasn't impressed you, especially at that top of guys that you would have thought would be competing for a Heisman?
Well, I think Cam Ward has really come into Miami, previously at Washington State and just lit things up, starting with that Florida game in the first week of the season. Jackson Dart's playing a very high level for Ole Miss, but obviously not against the greatest competition. I think Shedeur Sanders has performed well, obviously not well enough for them to win that, to come close, frankly, in that game against Nebraska. But he's played a very high level. And then a guy who's playing a very big game this week, Miller Moss at USC, great starting. Well, he started the bowl game last year and was great in that. And then, of course, in the high-profile opener against LSU was phenomenal. Very interested to see him against this Michigan defense.
As Stuart Mandel is joining us from The Athletic, you talk about Miller Moss getting ready to take on Michigan. We know that Michigan just made a quarterback change to Alex Orji. Are you expecting this to really light a fire? It can't be worse than what we got. Two touchdowns and six interceptions is not going to do it at the quarterback position.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of that will depend on how Sharon Moore might tailor the offense around him. Alex Orji is a much different quarterback. He can run. We're not sure about his passing ability. We haven't really seen that yet. I don't know that you want to run the exact same plays and the exact same offense that you were doing with Davis Warren, and I don't think they will. You know, Sharon Moore's been working with him as his OC since last season. He knows what he can do. He's gotten him in situations before where he's been able to use his legs to be creative. So we will see what that looks like. I also don't think it's just the quarterback. I mean, that's definitely been their weakness. But this is a team that lost their whole offensive line to the NFL and is replacing them with new guys. Lost their best receivers from last season. Their great tight end is questionable this week. So I don't think it would be fair to put it all on a quarterback.
Most certainly. We know Michigan is a team in transition. Harbaugh now coaching the Chargers as well. Do you expect at some point in time, maybe before the season is even up, for another shoe to potentially drop on Michigan, or are we going to have to wait until next year?
Oh, you're talking about the NCAA stuff?
Any NCAA, whether it's sign stealing or violations with recruiting, it's like a variety of things with them.
It is. The sign stealing will probably not get any resolution until after the season. We know they just got notice of allegations. Then there's like a 90-day period to respond. I mean, long story short, this has been going on for a long time. It's not over yet. Harbaugh obviously got his punishment for the first NCAA investigation, so that's done. Now I think we're just waiting to see what happens with the sign stealing. And like I said, probably not happening until the first half of next year.
It's Stuart Mandel is joining us here, the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast via The Athletic. You mentioned Shedeur Sanders, and of course, this is Deion Sanders' dad, has certainly been in the news a lot. Restrictions to media access and answering questions. This past week, he talked about the journalists being jealous and their criticism of players. What are your thoughts on some of his comments?
I think it would probably be better received if they were winning a lot of games. I think at this point, a year and three games into Deion's tenure, some of the quote-unquote controversial stuff he says is falling flat because they're just not particularly relevant. They're not a ranked team. We're going to the fourth week of the season now. If they can start to string some wins together, and by the way, I do think their defense is a lot better than last year, and they become a top 25 team and maybe even a contender in the Big 12, and at that point, the coach can say whatever he wants. People are going to get in line, but we're not there yet. So, you know, they did obviously have a good win last week against Colorado State, but that was a week after getting blown out by Nebraska. You know, they need to get some consistency and you know, have more on-the-field stuff to talk about versus these press conference headlines.
Well, we know you talk about the defense and its improvement. Travis Hunter still playing on offense, playing on defense. He again, just over the past 24 hours, has reiterated his desire at the NFL level to play both offense and defense. What do you think that the next level will look like for Travis Hunter in the NFL?
I think he's phenomenal on both sides of the ball. And I don't know how an NFL team would want to manage that, but I think you can use him however you want. I mean, if you have a need at receiver, he can fill that. If you have a need at cornerback, he can fill that. Maybe it's not realistic to play every down like he does in college, but you could certainly use him, you know, kind of like Champ Bailey in certain ways. So it'll be interesting. We haven't had a true two-way player like that in the NFL in a long time, and he can certainly do it.
Stuart Mandel is here with us from The Athletic. You know, you had mentioned Cam Ward and his early success here. When you think about two other prominent teams down in Florida not going so well between Florida State and then also in Gainesville, with the Gators. Billy Napier, I mean, he's not Deion Sanders, but his team is certainly falling flat. When you think about the $24 million that would be owed to him approximately on an exit, when do you think this exit would potentially be?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we have gotten conditioned to schools firing a coach who's clearly not going to make it, gets fired very early in the season. But two things that might not make that realistic here. One is that buyout you talked about. Does Florida actually have that money? Usually these big SEC schools can find the money, and I know, no doubt they will, but is it necessarily ready in week three? And then the big change to college football is this 12-team playoff that begins in the middle of December and runs through the middle of January. If Florida wants to hire somebody whose team is in that playoff, It doesn't really make a difference when you fire your coach, because you're not going to be able to hire the next one until that team's done in the playoff. And so if you're Florida and you say, you know, we really want Lane Kiffin, but Ole Miss is a top six team right now, we think they're going to be in the playoff, let's just ride out the season or most of the season with Billy Napier, because we really aren't going to be able to hire anybody just yet. We haven't gone through this yet. I'm very interested to see how it works. I don't think every school in America, like every school, every coach who's in the playoff is just off limits that year. But you are going to probably have to wait them out, and schools tend to not have that kind of patience.
Well, Stuart, as we start to wrap things up, a coach doesn't have to worry about anything too much right now. It's trying to find some consistency. Is Marcus Freeman with Notre Dame, you look at the 12-team playoff, what are the odds that they get in? Because at this point, they might have the worst loss of anybody, even at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Certainly, if they were to turn around and win all their games, they'd be in the playoff. I wouldn't be too worried about that, 11-1 team. What we're not sure about is if you lose one more game and you're 10-2, and you don't necessarily have a lot of big wins like these. If you go 10-2 in the SEC this year, you might still have three top 25 wins or two top 10 wins. Their schedule doesn't really set up that way. USC at the end of the season might be the only highly ranked team they play. So I just don't know if that team's resume will stack up with some of the other at-large contenders. They probably need to run the table from here.
So we know Texas is number one. We got Tennessee rising up besides the ticket prices. Is there any other teams that you feel will be in contention that isn't getting the attention right now?
I feel like Ohio State's not getting any attention right now, but they will as soon as they play somebody. But I don't think there's a national championship contender in the ACC or Big 12. I think it's those handful of SEC teams you mentioned and Ohio State. And so the good thing about 12-team playoffs is a lot more teams than that will get to at least play in the postseason, maybe win a game. You get a game at your home stadium. That's awesome. But in terms of who can actually win the national championship, you're probably looking at four or five teams max.
Oh, Stuart, thank you so much. We appreciate the time. Where can people follow you and your work with The Athletic?
Yeah, on Twitter at SL Mandel or on The Athletic itself, theathletic.com, and a podcast I do called The Audible, which you can get wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you, Stuart. Appreciate it. You enjoy the rest of the evening, all right?
All right. Thanks. You too.
No doubt about it. That's Stuart Mandel, editor-in-chief and senior columnist at The Athletic, covering all things college football. He talks about Travis Hunter. I may need to hit up Champ Bailey and ask him and get his thoughts on that as well. Travis Hunter not being shy in the fact that he wants to play both offense and defense in the NFL. He wants to continue what he has started here in Colorado. I don't know if that's physically possible. I mean, the talent pool in the NFL, a little bit different. I think you want to get the max out of both guys, and you want to, well, not both guys, but both sides of the ball. It's like, where are you really going to excel? And if you're strictly playing defense, can we have some offensive packages for you? It's a little bit of a give and a take. But to play every down on offense and defense, that ain't happening. That ain't happening in the NFL. It's going to be a mixed bag. It's going to be real interesting to see where he gets drafted and who he plays for. And then also, speaking of Shedeur Sanders, we know about his talent, if he can stay upright. But then you think about some of the comments that he's made about his own offensive line and their ability to protect him. You know, some of the comments he makes after games with the opposition, not shaking people's hands. You never know what you're going to get with Shedeur Sanders. And so Colorado, I guess the most that we can expect for the rest of the season is Shedeur winning, at least putting up numbers, maybe getting smacked around. Travis Hunter being amazing, and Deion Sanders coming through with press conference quotes. I don't know if that's what Colorado signed up for in year two, but it looks like that's exactly what we are going to get. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, you know, I mentioned Harbaugh, the man who left Michigan and is now the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. Harbaugh spoke to the media today about his quarterback and his status, Justin Herbert, after an ankle injury this past Sunday. And then speaking of college, man, we got a guy, a former NFL head coach. He's trying to get back into coaching, even if it means going at the college level. It's just a matter if anybody wants him. We'll talk about both of these situations on the other side of the break. At the top of the hour, I'm going to bring you a new top six list as we look at the top six quarterbacks. They don't look like they're going to be quarterbacks at the end of the season or maybe next year. I'll give you that top six list of quarterbacks who are cooked at the top of the hour. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Stuart Mandel joining us from The Athletic. He is their editor-in-chief and senior columnist for all things college football, for coming through and sharing some of the insight with us that he is an expertise at. One of the things that he mentioned was Michigan. USC is going to take on Michigan. I guess we need to get used to this for the next, I don't know, forever. We know Michigan made a quarterback change, and this is certainly a transition year for the Wolverines. And I'm going to get into this more as we continue on, but I need to tell you this right now, that you need to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. While Michigan is a program currently in transition, Harbaugh is gone. Jim Harbaugh is in Los Angeles. Off to the best possible start, 2-0 to the season. Knocked off the Raiders to open things up. Knocked off the Panthers this past weekend to pretty much knock out Bryce Young as starting quarterback as well. But unfortunately, one of the larger issues that the Chargers had to worry about was the status of their starting quarterback, Justin Herbert. Kind of got rolled up a little bit, had to suffer an ankle injury, did not leave the game but stayed in it, and has been limited in practicing this week. And so earlier today, as the Chargers get ready to take on the ugly winning Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday, Harbaugh spoke to the media, and Jim, he was asked pretty much, hey Jim, can you give us a prediction? Can you look in your crystal ball? Justin Herbert, he's gotten better, but is he going to play? Listen to his response.
Crystal ball. Expect him. He's getting better every day. Last, I was just sitting meeting with him. Said he was feeling much better and good today.
Who would if he can't go? Who would start? Would it be Taylor? Or would it be Easton?
Right now it's Easton. But the we're going to be way over the legal limit of what ifs if. If this, if that.
Easton Stick. I know that they're playing the Steelers. The Steelers are trying to win every football game by just kicking field goals. The Steelers are trying to win every single football game by punching you in the mouth. The Steelers are trying to win dirty and ugly. The Steelers are going into these football games like they're bar fights. And they're not here for style points. They're here to whoop your ass and leave. It doesn't matter what the victory looks like as long as they get it. If we see Easton Stick out there for the Chargers against the Steelers, and by the way, they will be in Pittsburgh. Man, the Steelers are going to start the season 3-0. It'll be hilarious. Now, that's going to be an ugly game. Everybody wants to see Justin Herbert. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the game. We know he got all that money, too, giving this guy $52 million a year. He's getting all the bread, getting all the cash. He doesn't have to throw the ball around the same type of way before Jim Harbaugh showed up. But come on, we want to see him. And here's the unfortunate part. The same leg and ankle that he hurt is the same foot and leg that put him in that boot with that plantar fasciitis injury in the offseason. Like, no, nobody wants that. We want to see our best quarterbacks out there. It's enough that we're already missing Tua. By the way, these guys were selected one after the other in the draft a couple of years ago. Tua's already out with a head injury, and Justin Herbert, well, We want to see him out there for the Chargers. Otherwise, the game is going to be even uglier than we all presume. Anyway, that's a little bit of an update on Herbert and Harbaugh, the guy who escaped Michigan and back into the NFL and doesn't have to deal with any of the ramifications of leaving or overseeing a cheating scandal or overseeing cheating violations or recruiting violations or taking a kid to go eat a cheeseburger when he wasn't supposed to. I mean, welcome to the silly ass world of college football and sports in general. And speaking of silly ass, this is not silly. This is actually pretty sad. Coach Chucky is in the news. John Gruden is in the news. And no, he didn't say anything crazy right now. No more emails came out about him being misogynistic guy or racist guy. Well, we don't know. For now, we don't. We have no idea. What I do know is that he sat down with CBS to let everybody know that he is interested in getting back into coaching. If you do not recall, the NFL, and thank you to the Washington football team, well, not thank you to their old owner, Dan Snyder, they were being investigated. Washington was being investigated. And emails from John Gruden before he became the head coach of the Raiders, like emails came out about this guy and some of the comments he had to say about Michael Sam and the former Players Association executive president, Damoris Smith, talking about the size of his black lips, big black lips like rubber tires. And it's like, whoa, bro, that's a little much. And so in 2021, John Gruden, I don't know, it was such a long time ago, he had to retire or resign. Excuse me. Of course, it wasn't by choice. He resigned. And let's be real. The only reason why he took that job with the Raiders is because Gruden looked at him and said, I watch him on TV. If I just give him a 10-year, $100 million contract, he'll come coach. And then it came out that he is not the smartest guy when it comes to electronic communication. The hateful side started to show. And then he hasn't been all that, I don't know, let's just say, apologetic. I mean, last year he did try to apologize at an event in Arkansas, and it didn't come across too much as an apology because he told everybody, yeah, I said some bad things. Everybody does, but I'm a good person. Listen to this from Channel 13 KTNV. Listen to this.
This is significant because it's the first time the former NFL head coach is speaking out about those leaked emails that contain racist, misogynistic, and homophobic language that forced him to resign in October 2021. Gruden made an appearance earlier today in Little Rock, Arkansas at the Little Rock Touchdown Club meeting. Here's what he had to say when asked about the fallout.
I'm not going to say anything but honest things here. I'm ashamed about what has come about in these emails, and I'll make no excuses for it. It's shameful. But I am a good person. I believe that. I go to church. I've been married for 31 years. I got three great boys. I still love football. I've made some mistakes, but I don't think anybody else in here hasn't. And I just ask for forgiveness, and hopefully I get another shot.
Okay. I mean, the emails were over the course of 7 years. Did you learn from those mistakes? I mean, 7 years is a long time to be making mistakes as a grown adult. I mean, damn. And look, he's working with people in the NFL. They're calling him up. He's giving advice to quarterbacks in college. And so he's getting his chance. He's getting his opportunity. But he made it very clear that he still wants to coach. And is it going to be in the NFL? I doubt it. Is it going to be in college? I assume someone at some point is going to give him a chance, an opportunity, a shot. But those are some tough words to come back from. You know, everybody makes mistakes. People say things. People make jokes. People say horrible things in their brain. They say them out loud. They say them when they're by themselves. That he's a dummy. He was stupid enough to go ahead and put it in email form over 7 years. Now he's suing the NFL because they leaked the bad words that he said. Like, don't. At what point do you just say, hey, I screwed up. I did something that was wrong. To me, it's just like not even a full acknowledgement that what you did was wrong and that you can do better. Not that you're just a good person because you go to church. going to church automatically makes you a good person? Being married 31 years makes you a good person? I don't know. I think Mr. Gruden needs to spend some time looking in the mirror. Everybody makes some mistakes, but the acknowledgement of who you are and how you are perceived, I think he's kind of lost there. And for a guy who just says he's all about football, it appears that he is. It seems that he might be out of touch with the rest of the world and how you treat people with respect. Look, if John Gruden gets another job, good for him. If somebody gave him a shot, somebody gave him an opportunity, that's what he said he wants, good for them. Would he get another shot from me? No, he wouldn't. That doesn't mean that he hasn't learned, but to me, to be running around filing lawsuits about who leaked your dirty laundry, it's like, bro, you are completely worried about the wrong thing. He might have to stay in Florida and look at tape and film and be a resource. Andy Reid brought him in for some help. That might be the closest that he'll get to the NFL, just the offseason. Nothing else, man. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. It is Wednesday. On the other side of the break, it's time for a new top six list. It's what I do every single Wednesday. And speaking of second chances, I'm going to tell you about some quarterbacks in the NFL. They might have used up their best chances to be starters this year. I'm going to tell you about some quarterbacks that I think are cooked here in 2024. This could be their last chance to be starters in the NFL. We got a new top six list coming your way at the top of the hour. Quarterbacks who are cooked in 2024. It's only a matter of time before the dinger goes off and they're done. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. That top six list coming on the other side. Don't move.